like a stranger in the crowd. Some mock, some love, feel pity at the cross to which I had bowed. When the trumpet sounds and I leave the ground, my trouble will suddenly run out. Like defeated foes, they'll bow and go, and tomorrow it won't matter anyhow. For the world, a new day's a-coming. For the world, the time has run out. We can feel the press get stronger. Fierce winds drive waves crossed our bow. But when the trumpet sounds and I leave us all bound, my trouble will suddenly run out. My defeated foes, they'll bow and go, and tomorrow it won't matter. Yeah, raise your hand and pray. Dawned and bloomed and faded. Some fruit fell wasted on the ground, and some things we long for waited never came, we knew not why or how. But when the trumpet sounds and I'll leave the ground, my troubles will suddenly run out. Some fruit fell wasted on the ground, and some things we long for away never came, no, it is not right now. But when the trumpet sounds and I leave the ground, my trouble will suddenly run out. Like defeated foes, and they'll bow and they'll go, and tomorrow coming. For the world, the time has run out. We can feel the pressure get stronger. Fierce wind drive waves crossed our bow. But when the trumpet sounds and I leave us all down, my troubles will suddenly run out. My defeated foes, they'll bow and they'll go, and tomorrow it won't matter anyhow. Give the Lord your glory. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Well, when I gave my heart to Jesus, I soon walked like a stranger in the crowd. Some mocked, some left me in pity. But when the trumpet sounds and I leave this old ground, my trouble will suddenly run out. I can feel it all, they'll bow and go, and tomorrow it won't matter anyhow. Yes, tomorrow things won't matter anyhow. Hallelujah. Give the Lord the praise tonight. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I usually don't get to preach the messages I announce. Amen. Except tonight is one of the exceptions. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 28:17. Glory to God. 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, gold. That's the ultimate in precious jewels. Amen. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou wast created. Lots of music built in. I mean, he had a built-in pipe organ, a built-in harp. Amen. A built-in drum. Amen. Tabret. Tabret. Amen. Oh, thou art the anointed. Can you deny it when the Bible says it? Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Precious stones, so brilliant that they glisten, shed like light, like fire. Amen. Ooh, what an environment he had. What a makeup he had. Needed nothing. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Think what a change has been wrought. Such a beautiful, angelic, cherubic creation now has turned violent. Amen. And thou hast sinned. The original sinner of all sinners. Amen. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God already there. Amen. Already there. And now you wonder why God said he'll have a tribe of people. The folks that get there from this side will be thoroughly tested before they ever get there. Amen. Come on. Amen. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Listen now. Thine heart was lifted up. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I'll cast thee to the ground and lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Amen. How do you make a devil? What kind of material do you use to make a devil? That's Ezekiel 28. Amen. Isaiah has a little more to say about it. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 14, begging your indulgence, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, thou which didst weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I'll exalt myself above the stars of God. I will set up also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. The north was already there when he fell. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. The clouds were already there when he fell. I'll be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit, that they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Amen. Matthew chapter 10. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and disease. Now he tells who all had this power. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, Go not the way of the Gentiles, in any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Judas was one of them. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. Judas was one of them. Nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman's worthy of his meat. Judas was one of those men all out for God, living by faith. And whatsoever city town ye enter, inquire in it who is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. When ye come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it not be not worthy, let your peace return unto you. Whosoever will not receive you, nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Judas was one of them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep. Judas was one of them. Sheep among wolves. Judas wasn't a wolf yet. He was still a sheep. Come on. Amen. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Judas was one of them. Amen. But something happened between Matthew 10 and John 6. Amen. Something happened. Jesus answered them, John 6 and 7, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Amen. What kind of material are devils made of? What does it take to make a Lucifer into a devil. Huh? What does it take to make a saint a godly layman, a preacher, a man of the cloth, a deliverance preacher, if you will, into a devil? Can it be done? Some say it can't be done. I just read it to you in no uncertain terms, the words of the Master. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, what kind of material does it take? Amen. To make a devil. 1 Timothy 4:1. Amen. We get pretty well involved in the last days. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Didn't say they'd quit preaching. Said they'd depart from the faith. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Listen what they start preaching. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry. Commanding to abstain from meat. You heard any doctrine like that? Anywhere along the way? Yeah, you got St. Paul's word for it. It's doctrine of devil. Amen. Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Amen. How do you make a devil? Amen. How does it all come about? Amen. How did, amen, Lucifer become a devil? Amen. He became a bored, impatient angel. Amen. And he said, I'll exalt myself. The Bible teaches men and angels, if they'll wait on the Lord, he'll exalt them. Men have always messed up when they took matters into their own hands and begin to use I too much. Amen. He said, I'll exalt myself. I'll ascend above the clouds. I'll ascend to the sides of the north. Amen. To the throne of God. He wasn't satisfied where he was. Amen. Vance Havner said a lot of preachers feel like an eagle sitting on a hummingbird's nest. And yet there are still others, perhaps on the other side of the spectrum, that feel like hummingbirds sitting on an eagle's nest. Amen. Oh, we don't want to get overboard either way. Come on. Lest we be exalted or become impatient. Lucifer was an impatient, bored angel. He got tired of his status. He got tired of his position. Amen. He wanted a bigger slice of the cake. Amen. So he politicked with the angels. And you know what? He got some over on his side. Amen. And not only did Lucifer become the devil, not only did this beautiful musical covering cherub become what we know today as Satan, that old dragon, amen, the devil, which is our arch enemy, or is he? The Bible calls him the God of this world. The Bible calls him the prince and the power of the air. Well, with such natural charisma, such beauty, and such music, and such charm, and such authority, is it any wonder that a lot of people's God is the God of this world? You can't get out of serving something. You'll serve one God or the other. You'll either serve the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, amen, and your own interest, or you'll serve the true living God and live by faith and trust Him, praise God, for the future. Amen. Amen. How do you make a devil out of a saint? One so qualifying as Judas Iscariot, who was the only, Brother Fletcher told us this morning, the only one of the disciples that was from Judea. And probably if a vote had been taken among the constituency of the apostles and their immediate predecessors, amen, Judas would have probably been voted most likely to succeed. He was sharp. He was good with numbers. He had a good memory. He was good with figures. Yes, he was. And so they said, well, he's the one we ought to get for our treasurer. And so they chose him as treasurer of the group in their little organization and gave him the bag and the care of the things that was given for the ministry of Christ on earth. What a charge. What an opportunity. What a responsibility. Amen. But something was throbbing in the bosom of Judas. Something was happening on the inside. Amen. Almost every Easter when they portray the crucifixion, they play out Judas, many of them do, as being a member of some club. Amen. Trying to take over the kingdom for the Jews against the Romans. And they picture Judas as trying to rush things and exalt Christ to the throne. Even if he had to betray him into the hands of the enemy, sell him out to get him to perform a miracle, amen, and sweep the Romans out of existence and sweep the powers that be out of existence and even smash the politics that were in control in his day and take over. But Judas didn't know the plan of God. Amen. And did you know that one time when Jesus spoke of the fact that he had to go to Jerusalem, be betrayed into the hands of sinners, and die on the cross, that Peter got that spirit on him? And he shook Jesus and said, no, said, don't talk like that. Amen. Be it far from thee, said, you're not going to die. Amen. And Jesus shoved him off and said, get thee behind me, Satan. How did Apostle Peter get such a stinging rebuke as Jesus looked him right in the eye, one of the inner circle, and said, get thee behind me, Satan? Well, I'll tell you one thing. If he'd have been prone to get his feelings hurt and sulk, he'd have sold up a little right there. Amen. Amen. I don't know how long he pouted, amen, but he fell silent about rebuking Jesus on his way to Calvary anyhow. Amen. Why do saints turn to devil? Because they don't know the plan of God. They don't know the program of God. And we're tempted to rush things. and we're tempted not to wait on the Lord. The Bible says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as the wings of the eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Who will? They that wait. But some great men couldn't wait. They couldn't be satisfied with their status. King Saul, the first king of Israel, was one of those that couldn't wait. The first strike, amen, for Saul on his way down to devilhood, if you will, amen, was when Samuel told him to wait, and I'll come at the time of the evening sacrifice. And he intruded into the priesthood. His army was going AWOL. His men were losing faith. And he was losing face fast. Amen. You know, the best thing that can happen to most of us is lose our face. Crucify our pride. Amen. But he said, I got to do something. And so that stately but arrogant king said, bring me a sacrifice. Get the altar ready. Amen. And he who was not a Levite wasn't called to that office. Amen. How do you take a good man and make a devil out of him? Just let him get out of place and out of the will of God. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Saul tried to execute the office of the priest, and God said, that's one strike. Amen. He had two more strikes, and then he was out. Amen. The next one, he had a chance to slay all the Midianites. Amen. But he saved the best, the cattle. And King alive brought them back as trophies of war. Once again, his pride was working. That's what he was looking for anyway. Trophies. Amen. Yeah, here, look here. I've got Agag, the king, under my foot. Amen. And look at all this drove of cattle I've got. And Samuel comes to him and says, what hast thou done? Saul said, Samuel, amen, we just had the most wonderful victory you ever saw. A miraculous, glorious service. Amen. A mighty move of God. Greatest revival ever was. And what a victory we won. And look at all this stuff I brought back to give to God. And Samuel said, God don't want it. God didn't tell you to bring it back to give to God. There's some things God don't need. There's some mediums God don't need. Huh? Amen. There's a whole bunch of stuff that works against the godly instead of the thought. Amen. And God didn't want Israel to become acquainted with that bunch. He didn't want them to learn their way. He didn't want them to come to respect and appreciate their ungodly neighbors. Amen. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces that day, like God told Saul to do. Amen. And the blading of the sheep and the cattle, amen, was a dead giveaway. If you've obeyed the Lord, Samuel said, what meaneth this? A lowing of the oxen. This noise in the background. Amen. Ah, he was supposed to make a clean sweep. Amen. And we are too. I said, we are too. Praise God. Amen. The last go-round was the last battle, and that last pitiful seance when Saul couldn't hear from God and God didn't answer by Urim nor by Thummim, and the priest couldn't get a hold of God, and Samuel, amen, was directly ordered by God to quit praying for him. Quit praying for him. But there was still hope for Saul. God saved some men in awful bad shape. But where did he go when he couldn't get a hold of God? Did he repent of his sin? Did he admit his wrong? Did he confess that he had failed God all these other times and try to get right? No! He found him a fortune teller. He found him a witch. Amen. He should have killed them too. Amen. But somebody said it was Abner's mother. I don't know. Amen. But anyway, one got through. Praise God. One survived the politics of Israel in that time. Amen. And here he is, there before the witch, getting his fortune told, learning his future. Amen. Getting his direction from the stars and from, amen, old concoctions and from the witch's brew. He staggers out into that dark Palestinian night. His knees won't hold him up now. Amen. He has chased David, God's anointed, day and night for years. What turns an anointed man into a devil? And makes an anointed man of God at one time an adversary of God's preachers. An adversary of the anointed of God. Amen. Oh, I've seen it happen. Amen. Preacher, you won't stay out of the will of God very long with what you'll begin to oppose the men that are in the will of God. Layman, you'll not stay out of the will of God very long and dip your dipper in the world very long until after a while the potions of this covering cherub, this deceiving, deluding angel, will taste sweeter to you than what these holiness preachers have been telling you. And you know what you'll do when you come to make a choice? You'll do just like a whole bunch more have done right here in Hamilton in the last 20 years. It'll be down with holiness, down with the holiness church, down with holiness preachers, down with the standard, down with the bondage. Amen. And they take the route that they think is going to bring them joy and pleasure. They get their kicks out of their mockery of those that preach righteousness. They get their inspiration out of their hatred of those that declare all the counsel of God. They've got all kinds of names they call them. Holier than thou, Bible thumpers, holy Joes, amen. Oh yeah, all kinds of names they've got to call them. Old fogies, amen. Some call them old-timey Pentecost, as if there was anything else. Amen. You see, there is really no neo-Pentecostalism. It's a misnomer. It's a misuse of the term, because the new is not Pentecost. Amen. Amen. What is it then? It's ambitious saints that have grown tired and bored of the old ways, the ways of God. They've grown tired of the cross, and so they've took them a gospel handsaw and they've sawed off the cross. Oh yes, it is ambitious saints. Amen. Like King Uzziah. Amen. not satisfied to be king, he intrudes into the office of the priesthood and offers sacrifice. And as he withdraws his leprous, cursed hand, amen, he may blame the priest for it. But they're not to blame. No, no, no. 1,000 times no. Amen. Uzziah would stand apart all the days of his life. Amen. David almost took the wrong path permanently. Amen. Out of the will of God, when kings were supposed to go to battle, he stayed home. Amen. Where were you on Wednesday night? Where were you on Saturday night? Where were you on Sunday morning? If you wasn't in church, I'm telling you right now, you was out of the will of God. Amen. I was sick. We believe in healing. Hallelujah. I go to church when I'm sick. God heals me. Amen. I go to church when I've got the flu. Praise God. Somebody gave it to me, so I just bring it to church and give it back to them. Amen. Ooh, hallelujah. It don't take my whole family to sit up with one sick person when one person in my house gets sick. Amen. If we can't take them to church, we'll even go to church anyway. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's the will of God. I can prove it by the Bible. Hebrews chapter 10, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but rather exhort one another. Amen. That's encourage one another by about assembling yourselves together. Exhort one another. And much more exhortation, much more effort put in, much more effort to get people to be faithful to the house of God as you see the day approaching. And you know what the next verse says? For if we sin willfully after we come to the knowledge of the truth, man is no more sacrifice for sin. Amen. A saint don't have to live out of the will of God very long until he too will turn to a devil. Amen. It's dangerous to have the devil cast out of you and then go back on God. Amen. Jesus said in the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew, amen, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he goes up and down through dry places seeking rest and finding none. The devil just loves dry places. He just loves dry singing. He just loves dry churches. He just loves dry preaching, dry everything. He goes up and down through dry places seeking rest. You know why he likes dry places? God wiped him out with a flood twice. Amen. He likes dry places. He hunts for higher ground. That original kingdom, amen, that the devil had in the world long time before Adam ever came along, amen, he was under the clouds ruling the world, amen, had a kingdom on the planet earth, amen, and God drowned him. Time you get to Genesis 1 and 2, the earth is without form and void and full of darkness upon the face of the deep. Amen. It's been drowned out. Amen. And then comes along, praise God, the recreation of the earth, replenishing of the earth. Amen. And God moves on the scene and recreates the earth. And amen, puts Adam and Eve in the garden. Amen. And you know what? Here comes old Sleuthfoot. He starts to work with Eve. Amen. What causes a good woman, even a preacher's wife, to turn against her family, leave her husband and her children, and divorce her preacher husband, amen, like Ira Stanfield's wife did, and go back to the bars in New York City, amen, and sang until one night she got so under conviction, amen, that she gave her heart back to the Lord and came out when it wasn't her time, her cue, and sang, "There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you." Killed on the way back home to her preacher husband and babies. Scrap of paper found in the wreck, I'm told. I'm just telling what somebody else told me. It said there's room at the cross for you. What makes a woman do that? Amen. A woman get discontent. Discontented saints. Amen. Discontented husbands. Discontented wives. What makes them do that? Right in holiness ranks, if you please, that have known the truth. Amen. Discontentment needs to be repented of. Did you know that? Amen. We either repent of our boredom, too much time on our hands, too much money, maybe. Amen. And after a while, you exhaust all the things that you can eat with money and all the things that you can drink with money, and you look for other avenues to spend your money. And that's what makes the love of money the root of all evil. It opens up a whole area, if you will, of sin. In Ezekiel chapter 16, it was abundant fullness of bread and abundance of idleness. That was the first sin of Sodom. And that's what brought on a city hell possessed. A city ripe for judgment. Amen. Discontent with God's way. Discontent with the Bible way. Discontent with the way of truth. Amen. They settled for an unnatural second best. They went against God and they knew it. They were so against God they couldn't accommodate the angels. They wanted to rape them when they came into town. Amen. And Lot offered him his daughters instead, but the angels shut the door and smote the men with blindness, and the next day led all of Lot's family that would go out of Sodom. Amen. And every once in a while, God has to make a special effort to lead his people out of the world. He has to send along reformers, preachers that are kind of wild-eyed because they've got a vision straight from heaven. They may smell like they've been swallowed by a whale, like Jonah did when he preached to Nineveh. Great Lord, they may wear straw hat and overalls like Amos did when he cried out to his generation, "Because I'll do this to thee, prepare to meet thy God." They laughed them to scorn, some did. They refused to listen, some did. But a whole heathen city called Nineveh believed God, the Bible said. And they repented. Amen. Amen. Great God. Satanism in good men. Well-meaning ministers. A friend of mine has a term he uses. When a minister becomes in that shape, he said, "He's a devil." I wondered if he wasn't a little bit brash for a long time. I wondered if he wasn't using the term a little bit strong at one time. Amen. And then I thought about it. He was right. Amen. He was right. I said, he was right. Amen. I don't know about the status of that very preacher, however, this night. Amen. The Bible says, "Meddle not with those that are given to change." What happens when men leave the old paths? What voice have they listened to? What spirit have they heeded? What seduction has taken place that they have given heed to a seducing spirit? What doctrine of devils, what cunning seduction has the enemy used to lure them away, that they would so completely sell out the old paths, the old way, and be content to go through a cheap imitation? But did you know that thousands, multiplied thousands of so-called Pentecostals are buying that bill of goods this very night? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Don't tell me they're right when anything goes. But did you know that